It's so good to be here tonight. I'm glad it's us. And I really am. So good to be here. And I hope that the Lord is with Gabe and meeting with the folks down there in Crossville. And this morning, Brother Roland, he just blessed my heart. It's so good to have him. So we're so greatly blessed. If you will, turn back to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. And we're going to turn into a very, very familiar passage of Scripture here. And the reason how I ended up here, let me give you a little background here on how I got here, is for the last, you know, several months, I've been wanting to bring a message on mercy. And I love mercy. And the believers, don't we love mercy? And I look into the Scriptures and I read, and the Lord just don't speak of mercy, but it speaks of his mercy being tender mercy, a tender mercy. And we read of his covenant mercy and his sovereign mercy. And one that it just sets, every time I hear it, I'm so thankful that his mercy is new every morning. And that would be such a, and so as I was looking and I was wanting to bring a message on mercy, when I was looking into sovereign mercy, and this is a passage of Scripture that we often turn to, When we tell our friends and our family, we want them to know the gospel, and we want them to know that God's mercy is sovereign mercy. And so that's why I started here. And of course, any time that you go to a passage of Scripture, you want to not just read that passage, but go back before that passage so that you can see the context of it. And understand what you want to speak plainly from the Scripture, and you want to speak truthfully from it. And we know that there's a lot of error that occurs when a man takes something out of its context. So when I come to these passages of Scripture, and it says, I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy on whom I'll show mercy. I wanted to go back and look at that and see the context of it. And just so you'll know, I've ended up in a different place a little bit. So I'm giving you some context, but I'm telling you that because also I want you to see what caused me to stop and what caused me to dig deeper and deeper into this to try to understand. And I found I would go back, and we will here in just a second, but I went back to verse 12. And I read it, and then I kept going back and back and back. I ended up all the way back in Exodus chapter 19. And to be honest with you, I got way too many notes to go back to 19. And so I believe that the Lord would have me just to go back and go through it and summarize that. But we've got to go back to understand where we're at. But anyway, let's look again at verse 12. I want us to start there. There's a few passages here, a few things that are said that I want you to see if they stick out to you like they had me. Okay, verse 12, it says, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people. And now thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me." And then look at verse 13. "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight." And then verse 16, he says, "For wherein or how shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" Can you see the distraught in these questions that Moses is asking here? So why is Moses asking these questions? Now, we know where these questions lead to, but why is Moses so distraught in his questions? You can tell by his words that he's under duress. You know what he says? He says, "Show me the way." Well, a man who asks for the way don't know the way. And when you're lost, now this makes it even more difficult, but when you're lost, you don't know the way. Is Moses lost? So you see the questions that come from this passage as I look at it and I studied and I pondered on it. He also says, "Who shall you send with me?" Now we know the answer to that, don't we? Christ. And if you go back another chapter, you'll see that an angel of the Lord says, "I'll send you an angel." And an angel is a messenger. An angel is a messenger of the Lord. And we know that that messenger is Christ. But Moses says, "Who are you going to send with me? And how am I going to know the way? How am I going to know the way? And then how am I going to find grace in your sight?" So do you see the questions that Moses is asking? And it helps to understand this, and really I didn't come to think about it until just real recently in this study. But remember that when Moses speaks to the people for God, he speaks according to the law. When Moses is speaking to the people, he's speaking for God. But when Moses is speaking for the people, he's speaking for God. But when Moses is speaking to God, he's speaking for the people. Does that make sense? When Moses is speaking to God, he's speaking on behalf of the people. That's a mediator. So when we read these verses here, and we read these things that he's saying here, he's saying them as a mediator. Show me the way. Show me the way. Who are you going to send with me? So, but not only are the people speaking, but also Moses is speaking it. Okay, now as Moses speaks, it is the law. We know in the scripture that the law is often referred to as Moses. And in other words, if you remember, I think it was in Luke 16, but when Father Abraham, when the rich man cried up out in hell and he said, "Father, send me Lazarus," or "Abraham, send me Lazarus. Send me Lazarus that he might, give me a drink of water." And he said, "No, well, send Lazarus to my brethren." That's where I was going with that. "Send Lazarus to my brethren that they may hear." And Abraham said, "No. They have the law and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets, rather. They have Moses and the prophets." Well, what was Abraham saying to the rich man? They have the law and the prophets. They have the law and the gospel. And if they won't believe the law and the gospel, then neither would they believe Lazarus if he rose from the dead. That's where I was trying to go with that. So the point being, that when we read of Moses in the New Testament, we're reading about the law. And because Moses is a picture of the law. Does that, okay. Now, so in this passage and in these passages, it helps to understand Moses in this text speaking as the law. Now, we want to go back to Exodus chapter 19. And as I said, I'm going to try to summarize as much as I can as we go through here. So let me again. Say. The question. The dilemma. Why is Moses speaking as he is speaking? What brought about the circumstances and the conditions for him to be so distraught? That's what we're going to look at. Okay? Our setting, and this begins in Exodus chapter 19, in verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And what this is telling us, where are we at in this story with Moses? Okay, we go back to here. They've crossed the Red Sea. They've left Egypt. Okay, they've gone across the Red Sea, and now they've come into Sinai. Okay, and what it happens when they come to Sinai, after they leave Egypt, they go across the Red Sea, and now they're at Sinai. Verse 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called on him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and to tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, here a covenant is about to be offered. God Almighty is getting ready to offer or to propose to this people a covenant. Look at the covenant. Now therefore, verse 5, if ye will obey my voice indeed, that's a condition, if you will obey my voice, and there's another condition, keep my covenant, then here's what will happen. Ye shall be a particular treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Remember I said, when Moses speaks to the people, he's speaking for God. And he's getting ready to speak the law, the commandment. And Moses, verse 7, came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together. Now, the Lord has given the covenant. And it's been presented to the people. Now, what do the people say? All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. There has been a covenant of works established. The Lord has said to the people, if you do this, and if you do that, if you obey, and if you keep, then you'll be holy, you'll be particular, and you'll be blessed. And the people say to the Lord, they speak to Moses to return to the Lord and say, everything that the Lord has told us to do, we will do. And by the way, that's what the sinner does. Whatever he hears that the Lord commands, yes, that's what I'll do. That is what natural man does. Now, if we were to turn and in this same chapter, and now I want to begin summarizing, but it speaks for now that the people have agreed to keep the covenant. Now Moses goes back up to Sinai, and this is where he goes up to Sinai, and the people are at the foot of the mountain, and God says, Moses, don't let the people come near the mountain, and the mountain's quaking, and there's thunders, and there's lightning, and the Lord speaks, and the people tremble, and the Lord gives to Moses the Ten Commandments. Okay? And then he brings to the people these Ten Commandments. And in verse, at the last verse of verse chapter 19, beginning in verse 5, so Moses went down unto the people, he's just come down from Sinai, and spake unto them, and this is what he spake, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And now here is the first commandment, the first condition. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. And we could go on and read all the other commandments here. But that was the first commandment. And for our message tonight, that's the only commandment we need. That's the only commandment we need, because we're going to find that these people, they can't keep the first commandment. They entered into a covenant with God Almighty. They entered into a covenant and says, we will. And they sinned and fell on the first commandment. Now, after Moses brings the commandments, those 10 commandments to the people, what the Lord has spoken, he then goes back up to the mountain, up on Sinai. And it is there from Exodus, from right here, this 20, I think maybe about 1920, but all the way up to chapter 31, Moses has gone back up on the mountain, and this whole time the Lord is giving him all the commandments. He's given him the law of the tabernacle. He's given him the Ark of the Covenant. He's given him dimensions for the tabernacle. He's given him the services of the priests and the services of the Levites. And so this time that he's given the people the Ten Commandments, but now he's gone back up to the mountain, and all this time the Lord is giving Moses the laws, the ceremonial laws and the ritual laws and the feast days and all these things, while the people are waiting in the camp. And then that is where I want you to turn, Exodus chapter 32. So as I said, Moses is up on the mountain, and the people are in the camp. And let us remember what that first commandment was. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that thou brought up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, listen to what they said. These be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Remember the first commandment. And when Aaron saw what he had built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is the feast of the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up and play. Complete idolatry. Now, there's a passage of scripture, Romans chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 9. I was alive without the law once, but when the commandments came, sin revived and I died. Before the children of Israel went to Sinai, there was no law. Is that right? But when they entered into an agreement with God Almighty that they would keep that law, and they broke that law, when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. There is a death sentence now against the children of Israel. There is a law that is in place. that condemns them. Oh, they were condemned already. But the law came that sin might be made exceedingly sinful. And now they are in trouble. Look at the verse 10 of chapter 32. This is our Lord's response. This is his response to Moses. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I might consume them, and I will make of thee, speaking to Moses, a great nation. God was angry. God was angry with these people because God is holy and God is righteous. And God's law cannot go unpunished. And there is now a law that says, ye shall have no other gods before me. And God, in righteous indignation, is ready to kill them. And if you read down, Moses becomes distraught even here. And he goes to the Lord and says, Lord, what about your covenant? What about your promise that you made with Abraham? What about Abraham and Jacob and Isaac? What are the Egyptians going to say? What are the Egyptians going to say? Lord, please don't kill them. Please don't kill them. There's a sentence of death on them. Well, the sword does come out. Moses, they're separated from their tents. And if you was to read on down through this chapter, it says the Levites, Moses appointed the Levites to take their swords and go through the camp. Well, they did. And they went through the camp and there was 3,000 men killed with the sword. There was 3,000 that died with the sword. They were all guilty. But there was only 3,000 of them to die. And Moses, even after that, if you were to go down and read into verse 31, Moses still goes back to the Lord. And he still pleads. After the deaths of the 3,000, let's read this, verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned. He's just killed 3,000 of them, a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me out, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. So you see, Moses has gone back to the Lord and he's pleading. He's just, the Lord just killed 3,000 to the Levites. And then Moses is still, there's still a sentence of death on them. And God is pleading for this people. Well, we read on chapter 33, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto the land flowing with milk and honey. For I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. You know what the Lord has just told him? Y'all go on up to the land, but I'm not going to go with you. I'm too holy. If I go with you, I'm going to kill you because you're so wicked and you're so evil. And look at the next verse. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man put on his ornaments. You see what has happened. God has given his law, and the people have broken that law, and now they are guilty. And then when we turn and we begin reading here in our text, where we turn to there at the beginning, we talked about the distraughtness of Moses. This is why. This is what happened. These, the conditions, but when we hear of I'll be mercy to whom I'll be merciful and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, the reason the Lord spoke that is because of Moses here and him coming to the Lord. Lord, who are you going to send with us? You said you wasn't going to go with us because we're so evil and we're so wicked. Lord, what's the way? And how are we going to know that we found grace in your sight? And something else about the distraughtness of Moses here, to the best that I, and I didn't think about it till later in the day, but to the best of my knowledge, when the Levites killed those 3,000, I think that's the first time the Lord had ever drawn sword on Israel. I think that's right there. And so you can see that Moses is under just a tremendous amount here. And everybody's heart broke. Well, Moses thought that we're going to the land of Canaan and all these, the laws given, and they couldn't keep the law. Well, turn to Galatians chapter 3. And I think these two verses right here might be able to give us a good summary of what we have just read. Galatians chapter 3, 4, verse 10, I'm sorry. 4, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do. Isn't that just what we sing with Israel? So, Moses is distraught. But remember we said that Moses represents the law? Moses was not to bring salvation. The law was not to bring salvation. See, the law's not able. If the law attempts to bring salvation, it's going to become distraught. It can't. What's the purpose of the law? Look at verse 24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So, if we go back to our text, Exodus chapter 33, find Christ. For wherein, we'll begin reading in verse 18. When Moses said, after he had given these pleas, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, before we go any further, let's make a comment about that. I want you to see the tenderness that this was spoken to Moses. The kindness. It was of the Lord's tender mercies. Look back at verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Is not the Lord the friend of sinners? And have we just not read how the people have fell into sin? And have we not fell how the people are condemned? Have we not read where the people have no hope? they don't know the way, is not the Lord Jesus Christ the friend of sinners? Does he not eat with publicans and sinners? You see, when we read that verse 11, we're wrong when we think that God spoke to Moses as a friend because Moses was more righteous than the others. He wasn't. He was a sinner just like the others. Well, maybe he wasn't a bad sinner. How many sins did it take to condemn Israel to death? Do you see what I'm saying? So these words that are given, I will be merciful on whom I will be merciful, and I will be gracious on whom I will be gracious. Those are tender words spoken to the man who has no hope. He had hope in the law, and that hope is gone. He had a hope of a promised land, and it's gone. He don't know the way. He don't know who's going to take him. He don't know how can I be saved? Everything's come to an end. There's no hope for me. There is hope. I will be merciful on whom I'll be merciful. It has nothing to do with your wickedness. It has nothing to do with your righteousness. It has to do with my goodness, the Lord's goodness, and his determination and his purpose to save sinners. So the religious, they hate this passage of Scripture, or they try to explain it away. But for the sinner, this is good news. And you know what I found as I looked? Remember how I spoke of loving tender mercies and mercies new every morning? This is our Lord every morning. This is tender mercy. This is his goodness. Well, look at verse 21. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Do you know what Moses seen from that rock? He's seen how God could be merciful. He was put in Christ. He was put on that rock. He was put in that rock and covered. All of those sins of those people is explained right there in that rock. Right there in that rock. Gabe read this passage Wednesday night, and I wrote it down just as soon as I heard it. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 31, and we'll close. This, we will read both verses 1 and 2, beginning in verse 1. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel. I'll be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, look specifically at verse 2, and look closely. The people which were left of the sword. Remember I told you about the Levites? Those are the people. The people that were left. The people that remained. Found grace. They found sovereign grace. In the wilderness. Even Israel. When I went to cast cause him to rest. Well, that's our message this evening.